Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Jennifer Curtin. Hello, Jennifer. Merry Christmas. Compliments of the season. Hopefully, snowy Darren, deck the halls.
Same. Back at you.
How are you going this year?
I'm good.
You can say, how's the year been? Is it good? Can you top it off and say it's been fine?
It's been lovely, and I'm on holiday already.
Are you?
I'm very happy.
I couldn't, yes. Could hear that in your voice. Hear how relaxed and you're sitting back in your voice, as it were. Hey, hey, when I talk about 2018 to my kids in the future, I'm going to say, what about that mental year where everything that you didn't expect to happen happened and everything you thought would happen just happened but in a completely different way than you ever imagined it might?
Yep, it's been crazy in New Zealand and around the world, really, hasn't it?
Politics especially. Politics has been almost unbelievable in some points, internationally and even locally.
Yep, that's right. So Theresa May is busy saying, yes, let's do a deal. No, there isn't going to be no deal. And she's still hanging on by a thread, I think. I haven't checked the news this morning. But really, you know, her tenure is fragile at best.
So, this sort of flippant referendum that they had, that everyone took so lightly, suddenly just has become one of the most contentious political issues they've ever had.
Yeah, and there's a lesson there for us with this Canberra referendum then, don't you reckon? Like,
absolutely.
In the sense that we have to take some real care here about making sure that everybody has the information they need to make a considered decision on this, because once things are binding, it's not very easy to go and have a second referendum just because you don't like the outcome.
I spoke to the Prime Minister about that yesterday, actually, and the I sort of asked her what she thought about, you know, there's going to be two camps, aren't there? There's going to be the camp, the people who are for it.
Sorry. I have an alert on and it just went off to tell me I had to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Are you talking to me now?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Right, so that's good. That's good. Where was I?
So what was,
I thought you were going to say you're on holiday and you had a tsunami alert come through or something. No, you're okay, good. I was saying to her that there's going to be two different camps of thought, that will be opposing each other. One will be they're all druggies and they're breaking the law, so they should be. We need to get them off the streets. Get that away from our kids. The other school will be look, it's ridiculous. It's clogging up our jails. It's clogging up our police force. It's been proven to not be so harmful as everyone thought it was. And we actually just might be able to move forward as a country a bit quicker without it being such a massive deal and being so criminalised. But there's a big gap between those two people.
Well, and it depends how well Simon Bridges and his team decide to go hard on the, you know, like we heard on the weekend that he's decided to, even with the medicinal cannabis, he's decided to sort of push the panic button and say it's going to lead to, you know, lots of gangs supplying children outside of schools and that sort of very wedge populist politics. So if the opposition decides to go with that...
You're a sensible political reporter. Can you explain why he would even think that?
He's
not just playing lip service. He must just be playing lip service. No.
Schoolkids
don't have money for drugs for a start. You know?
Yeah, but I think he's decided on a couple of issues, including the Global Migration Compact. It's almost like he's decided that he's going to play a tough on law and order, sovereignty, wedge politics kind of approach. He's sort of gone a bit, I don't know, populist, John Howard-like for a moment there. I don't know if this is his new line to sort of demonstrate that he can do a different style of leadership and it's very oppositional and to steal Winston Peters voters or what it is. But it's a, you know, on the cannabis issue, this is complete contrast to what his party's own private members bill and Jonathan Coleman's approach before they lost government looked like. So... yeah, so it's a different direction for him, and it's a bit unfortunate if we want to have a considered conversation about, you know, decriminalisation.
And I think the important thing to think about, too, is it's the future we're thinking about. You know, people have got very ingrained opinions about cannabis that they've sort of built up over many years. We've got to think about how's it going to affect the future of the country.
Yep.
And it's interesting what you say about Simon Bridges there, because I was wondering whether the attraction of the alt, the success of the alt-right in for what, however that's perceived in internationally. That's got. I mean, he's got to be lured by the successes they've had overseas to want to maybe go a little bit more hardcore and to be a little bit more even nonsensical, I suppose. But
yeah.
but he doesn't. He sort of starts off and then just oh.
Well, I mean, he starts off and maybe he was hoping that the State Service Commission report wouldn't find anything and it would, and he would be given more airtime to continue with this. But actually, you know, the release of Thompson and Clark doing all their work for the past, you know, 9 years during the last government means that there's going to be some defending of his own position and Gerry Brownlee's and others. That might mean that his alt-right positions have to take a bit of a back seat for a moment.
Yeah. I don't think they've had to work in New Zealand anyway. So you want to talk about the your favourite politicians and, oh, well, not your favourite, but the best and the worst of the local politicians?
Everybody seems to be doing it.
Yeah, and, why not? Now's the time. You're on holiday.
I figured that somebody who hasn't really been talked about much as a best politician or, you know, one of the best would be Andrew Little. Because you know, like, such amazing wins this year. Like, he's Justice Minister and he's worked with Jan Logie to get the family domestic violence changes through. He's done the Justice Review. He's wiped the historical convictions for homosexual, you know, alleged offences back in the day. He's the Treaties Minister. He's the Pike River Minister. He's the GCSB Minister and set up some sort of cyber defence, malware stuff. So, and all of those portfolios, he's just been, you know, doing it. You know, like,
which is amazing,
ticking the boxes. And yeah, and like, this is a guy who was the leader of Labour, like, not very long ago.
He was leader of Labour at its most fragile, probably, as well. And he had the good sense to be able to see it and go, you know what's going to work? That's going to work. And that means me stepping down. And that's a big boy thing to do, you know.
And then to come out, like, just, like, owning his portfolios and, you know, growing a beard and, like, coming across on telly. So, like, you know, like...
Growing a beard.
Like, he just looks really cool. You know, he just looks like he's loving his job. And he's doing it really well. And, you know, all credit to him because being, you know, losing the leadership in that way and taking it on the chin, so to speak, and then just doing the work. And I think he hasn't really had the sort of kudos for that some of the others are getting in the government.
I think what you're seeing there is someone of the ilk who, when he does retire from politics, will be referred to as a statesman.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
so.
Like Jim Anderson was, that sort of thing, you know, like just
totally.
someone who's got some really good foundation of respect and want some really good achievements under his belt. Who else?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Grant Robertson is making good headway with the living standards framework wellbeing budget, but obviously he's got to get his language, you know, communication up around that to really sell it to people. And I thought Bridges was doing okay, considering his popularity.
He's still there. That's what I said to him the other day. He's still there.
But you just wonder what's going to happen with Jamie Lee Ross coming back to Parliament next year and then having to work
on
this.
It's like a comic book. I could just see it's like the Phantom of the Opera or something. Christine!
there's still a Maggie Barry review. I mean, there's still some stuff he's going to have to deal with. That may not be particularly pleasant.
Do you think it will force a change in the culture within the National Party? We sort of thought that had happened, and then we had some issues at the Young Nats event, you know, and all.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's disappointing in a way that Chris Finlayson is going. You know, there are some really good people in there that probably, you know, don't buy into the bully culture on both, you know, sides, but you don't get a strong sense yet that they believe that there is a problem with parts of their party, and I suppose it's not going to change until they really accept that there is.
Now, so tell us, so what about failures of the year?
Oh, well...
I've
only got one, and he's not there anymore, and it's Jonathan Coleman. So he retired from politics in April, and it was, you know, when the meth report came out, and the Middlemore Hospital stuff was happening, and he just kind of went, bye, you know, see you later, I'm going off to take a good job as a CEO of a private health hospital type company. And it just felt like he was walking away from having any accountability on the meth testing guidelines, and the fact that it led to people being evicted from their homes unnecessarily.
It was a witch hunt, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, even though it was Housing New Zealand that was doing it, you know, the health, you know, Ministry of Health had their own science advisor. They had, you know, plenty of
expertise. He didn't even need a science advisor. I mean, you just had to look at the figures and go, those figures, that doesn't make sense.
No.
You just had to ask a few questions, and no one did.
That's what the bureaucrats are there for, and that's what the minister's there for, but he didn't even really want to ask questions about it. I thought that was really disappointing.
Really quick, Jennifer, what about the year ahead? What do you foresee? Do you foresee a strong coalition government going into this next year, or do you foresee sort of dollar each way, or do you see a guaranteed winner on the other side?
I think it would be really good if I think they're getting into their groove, and new ministers still need to kind of remember to read, you know, all the documents and things like that.
Yeah.
And if they can sort out those kind of procedural issues, then they'll have a good year, and especially with the budget. The budget will be really interesting to watch.
And when does that come out?
April.
Jennifer, thank you so much for your contributions this year to The Breakfast Show. We look forward to seeing you next year. Have a great Christmas and holiday, and happy 2019.
And thanks to your team. They've been awesome.
Thanks, team. Tess, that's you, Tess. Thanks, Jennifer. See you. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.